In this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, Sam Robertson and Louise Reed, we are wrestling perhaps one of our most meaty conversations of being for the glory of God or for our own glory. You will want to chew deeply with us in this episode of What the Prophets Say. Welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say. Once again, I'm in the home studio, Stark Studios, or whatever we're going to call it, War Room Studios. We'll call it something with studio at the end. And I'm joined by Sam Robertson, Louise Reed, and of course myself, Emma Stark. And we're glad to be together.
We are.
To tease out to get and pull, actually, on quite a difficult prophetic word.
Anything new? That's why you join us on What the Prophets Say.
Okay.
How are you? Quite a difficult.
Quite a difficult word. Yes. How are you guys?
Very good. Yeah.
That makes me think that for certain episodes, we should amend the title and do, like, at the beginning, say, like, oh no, What the Prophets Say. Just, oh no. It's one of those episodes.
Yeah, or you could score them on quite difficult words or not so difficult words or good words or nice words. It could be all range.
I don't know that I've ever prophesied in nice words.
I like throwing the word nice in because I like the reaction it gets from both of you. Exactly. Because both of you have this reaction to the word nice.
Anyway, yeah, because listen, it's a kind. Kind's a good word. The fruit of the spirit is
kindness.
No, there's no niceness in the fruit.
There's no spirit of niceness.
No, thank the Lord. There's no spirit of niceness. The fence, isn't it?
You see, I just got you provoked.
You did, you triggered us.
I'm here as a provocation.
You are.
Thanks, Louise Reed. But just before the camera got switched on, you were telling us about falling out of bed. Is this an age thing, Louise Reed?
No, it's not. We bought a new bed and it was, look, this isn't even recent history.
So I don't know why. Talking
I don't know why
this?
Sam Robertson brought it up.
Because I think it's the most hilarious story ever.
It was the first night in our house in Glasgow 2 years ago or so, over 2 years ago, and we had bought a new bed and it's quite large, I have to say, and it's
King?
Yeah, it's a super king, but it's also tall. Okay, it's got a very large mattress on it. I was quite excited about this bed. I thought, great, this is wonderful. But the first night, when I woke up in the morning, I fell out of bed. I've never fallen out of bed in my life. I was thinking, is this a sign? Am I a signs prophet? What's this about falling out of bed? But no, just bruising. Just bruising to the side.
How are you in such a large bed?
Did you roll?
I don't know.
Were you asleep?
I don't know what I was, but I fell out. Look, did you wake up
as you were falling or did you wake up and find yourself
on
the floor?
No, I was definitely starting to fall. I think I was too near the edge. I just fell off. But it was like falling off a cliff, I have to say.
That's so dramatic as how tall your bed was. It was 9 meters. She had ladders to get up the side of it.
It's like the princess and the pea. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about this.
Because it's amusing.
It was amusing. Okay, fair enough. Wasn't amusing
because
for me.
Because we've got quite a hard word. So you might as well
soften. Hard fall.
Listeners, we're softening you up.
A bruising prophetic word.
This will be a bruising prophetic word. It will come as a shock. You'll just suddenly realise you're falling and there it is. Bang.
Right. On that happy introduction, shall we get started with prophesying?
Yes, we shall.
I'm glad you loyal listeners love a little bit of our banter, as they say. Is banter just a Scottish word?
No, it's an Irish word. It's quite an international word.
I think
word.
It globally applies.
Does it?
Yeah, in English-speaking territories.
Banter. The English-speaking territories. Seriously,
I just wanted to sound formal.
Can I just say we're dealing with empire spirit consistently, Sam? You're just building it up there.
English-speaking nations. There we go.
Territories. No, I need to focus.
There's no empire instinct in that. Don't worry. And if there is, I repent.
Right, so, Emma.
I have encountered a couple of national angels recently who were holding hammers, who were taking out the false foundational structures of nations, false pillars of support of nations. And we can get specific about some of these nations. And because they were built on the scaffoldings of the man-made empire structures. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is Britain, because I think actually Britain, the British Isles, the United Kingdom, is probably post-exile coming out of a judgment season, because God had humbled the British Isles. It was a real loss of identity because of her empirical tendencies. But there were some other nations that I've been in and out of where the whole landmass dropped as a territorial angel took out the foundations because they weren't godly.
Yeah.
And yet the people thought they were godly. Mm-hmm. Now, this, track with me here. When the nation dropped, it lost several things. It lost its international stature, mm-hmm. its international call, its international remit, its international identity. It could not hold the space mm-hmm. because it had been dropped by God to a lower place. Mm-hmm. And its elevation was self-acquired. Mm-hmm. It was the glory of man that had elevated mm-hmm. it, not the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And the glory of God had gone after brusquely the glory of man and had undermined nations built on the yes. glory of man. So that, we can talk about that, but I want to just give that as context to where we're now going to go. That then meant that suddenly I'm in the spirit and I'm going, I can't hear some voices. There are some voices I'm used to hearing in this level of heaven, in this yes. peer level, in this sharpening level of, I'm aware that you're saying that because I can feel what you're creating in the spiritual dynamic, because we're rulers, we're judges, we're those who are co-laborers, co-heirs with Christ. And I thought, suddenly your voice disappeared. Mm-hmm. Like you dropped out of the space. And then I think I was on the, was I on the phone to you when we were talking about mm-hmm. this? You were mm-hmm. over in Ireland and mm-hmm. I was here in Scotland in the last few days. And we were talking about, oh my goodness, we're suddenly in this spacious place, but the spaciousness wasn't because we had ascended, but because there had been the removal of some governmental voices from a shared governmental yes. platform. Mm-hmm. And then on the back of that, the Lord says, I have vacant seats mm-hmm. of governmental authority, and I now need to fill them, just as Judas was replaced in the days of the disciples with Christ, was replaced among the 12. Now governmental seats need to be filled. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm saying the word Judas is shocking enough, but mm-hmm. this sense of God not leaving governmental places that he empty, that he needs agreement, he needs collaboration. That's yeah. his style of government,
absolutely.
His approach to government. He doesn't just let one or two of you go into an ascended place so you can do whatever takes your fancy. He brings people into government in a sharpened way
mm-hmm. yes.
where they are consistently in the presence of other rulers. We're talking about the Council of God here, but even the 12 and the fact mm-hmm. that he has 12 and why he has 12, the symbolic number of sharp enough that sharpens
yeah.
in, because it's interesting when you have leadership teams that are quite small, that are two or three, very easy to maneuver agreement there and to lose a sense of sharpening voice. It's not necessarily about dissent, but it is about sharpening.
Elevation.
That pulls us all up, because in 12, you don't always get the ease of like, oh, yes. Now you get to yes, and you get to the agreement of what needs to happen governmentally, because there's a little bit of a pressure in that. You have to state a case. You have to think it through. You have to allow time to government when there are 12 voices, time to sharpening. And so when voices are removed and people are, or their lampstands go out, as we said a couple of episodes ago, you then, God is then searching for others to pull into government. He will not let you govern without sharpening. And if you find that you are in a place where you're just taking decisions without sharpening,
be very afraid because your government anointing must be tested. It must have other sharpening voices. If you are out rogue making decisions that you do not have sharpened, you probably are in error somewhere. Yeah. But the point of this is God is now going to fill vacant seats of governmental authority.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Louise, who's picking up that baton?
I think we're in the battle for who rules, the battle for who has authority.
Yes.
And that is the epoch of time that we are in, the battle for rulership.
Mm-hmm.
And if we talk around this, I would like to compare and contrast influence with authority, because I think we have got confused with them both. And I would say this, the world, the earth realm talks about influence and operates on influence leadership, influence based leadership. But the spirit realm operates on rulership, which is authority, authority based leadership, where influence is about amassing numbers. It is about a mass of agreement and support. But authority is, rulership is about who has authority, influence, who has a mass following, rulership, who has authority. And I do believe that we are in that space where, I would say like this, the throne of Christ always rages against those who misuse their authority or use their authority to oppress or to belittle or to back up a throne or a system that is in opposition to the kingdom of God. And I think the throne of Christ dethrones, and that's what you've seen, that there have been governmental seats that have been revoked. Why? Because we know that from Colossians that Christ in his resurrection and his enthroning disarms. So the throne of Christ disarms powers, and we have seen this disarming, this dethroning. But the joy of the other side of that is God is now finding those who have been tested and tried and pressed and shaken and rejected by systems and pushed out, and he's saying, look, my eyes are roaming throughout the earth, and they're looking to see those who I can entrust great authority to. And it's not about influence, because that's a worldly principle. Yeah. It's about authority, which is a spiritual principle.
And some of you, as you are listening to this, you will literally feel a pull on the top of your head where your whole being is being lifted by the Lord into governmental rulership places with some folk round about you, because you are too low in terms of ruling and reigning. It's not about not being humble, but allow yourself to say yes right now to the being pulled into the ascended place and the seats of governmental authority. Louise.
I just, Sam, particularly when you were sharing there, just felt that really this is a deliverance word on your piece about influence, because there's, for some, that has been a falsehood in your understanding, in our understanding, that it's about how much can I influence.
Yeah.
And really, we're freeing you from that in the worldly sense and saying that is over, that's done. There is a place that that we're being called to that is a place of authority, and it's an extraordinary place, and it looks different than you think it's going to look. It feels different than you think it's going to feel. And that word about replacement, or where some are being taken out, the dethroning as others come into position, I have had actual experience of that. Which is
unpack
visceral,
that.
Was so real. Well, I think I might have shared it before on a different platform, but I'll say it again. And this was particularly praying for nations and about boundaries of nations and the call of God on nations. And I felt like with a group of people, and again, it was a group of people, we were together, suddenly we were pulled up into a place of authority in heaven. And I was asked, as I went into this area, this, well, I'll call it a room, the Lord was there
And there were other leaders who I would have said had authority, known authority, mm-hmm. and they were in that place and they were arguing. And the Lord said, they cannot agree with heaven, therefore they must be dismissed. Mm. And it, there was a big thing. Now here was the other added thing, which was very shocking to me. I was sort of waiting for the Lord to dismiss them, and he said, no, you tell them to go. And I was like, well, I don't have the authority to do that. And he just looked at me and said, you tell them to go. And these leaders left. And the group that I was with, we sat to take the word of God and to declare it and to decree it over a couple of particular nations. This is serious business. If you're not in agreement with the word of God, as in the written word of God, the logs, if you're not in agreement with heaven, you will not be taken to those places because you have no authority if you don't have the word and the revelation of God. It's a serious thing, but it's also a surprising thing.
Yes. Let's just go to what it means to be there in that governmental authority. And this is not for everyone. So let's journey this together, because some folk are soldiers, please do that job exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. And some people are generals.
Yeah.
And we've talked many times about the Colossians scriptures of the hierarchy of the government of God. When you are in a governmental place, your major gift must be the gift of the discerning of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You must be able to be established in the gift of the discerning of spirits and established in fairly high functioning revelation. Why? Because you must make decisions as God makes decisions. That is what an ascended place is, or a governmental place, or a rulership place, ruling and reigning with Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, you can be positionally there, but be neutered in terms of competence, because you don't make decisions as Christ makes decisions, or you make decisions for your own glory. And then I tell you what, you get really capped and contained. Mm-hmm. God will not have you seated with him in a high place, making decisions for your own glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the ability to discern, to make decisions as he makes decisions. And you get tested to see, will you make decisions as Christ makes decisions? And that is both, will you put your mercy and your compassion and your tenderness in the places Christ puts his mercy, compassion, and tenderness, but will you also boundary limit and judge where Christ boundaries, limits, and judges?
Mm-hmm.
And to carry both those natures of God is a very mature dynamic. Because to make decisions as Christ makes decisions means you must say, that's not allowed, and that is allowed.
Yeah.
Is very reminiscent of the watchman capability. You know, see, I've said a watchman on the wall, and you're in some of the Ezekiel scriptures and Jeremiah concepts here, but the sense of you're going to bar and you're going to permit.
Yes.
It's the same as he's given you the keys of the kingdom in Matthew 16, or the keys of government in Isaiah are on his shoulders, where you lock and you unlock.
Yeah.
It is positionally the ability to do both. And don't you dare, listeners, go, judge not lest you be judged. Don't you misquote to me Matthew chapter 7. It is, that is saying, don't hypocritically judge. In other words, don't judge to a standard that you don't keep yourself personally.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're pure and you're ascended and you are able to be without guile and without hypocrisy, you can judge justly. And God in scripture does not go after those who judge. He goes after those who unjustly judge. Mm-hmm. And so in the ascended places, you are able to weigh and you are able to judge. Now you judge, Sam, this morning, what clothes you wore.
Mm-hmm.
There was a judgment call.
Mm-hmm.
You judged what you ate and what you did not eat. Mm-hmm. You judged how you spoke and how you did not speak today. Mm-hmm. And so on. You make judgment calls all throughout your life.
Absolutely.
You are always, we are always making judgment calls.
Yeah.
But the ascended place is the ability to justly judge over region and territory.
Can we talk then on the back of that, how you lose governmental authority for a second?
Yes.
I think there are several ways, but I want to hit one. I believe that, so in the garden, we get dominion authority.
In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 1:26.
And we get given authority. And what I think your measurement of how you use authority is whether God can trust you with it or has to remove it is dependent on where you who you ascribe your authority to. And I've been in Revelation 5:13 and 1 Peter 5:11 and Revelation 1:6. And all of those are worship scriptures. And the final word that they associate to worship of Christ is the word dominion. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing. I think we know what it is to give blessing to Christ. Be the honor. I think we know what it is to be to give the honor to Christ. Be the glory. I think we kind of know what it is to give glory to Christ. And the dominion forever and ever. And the journey is Christ gives you dominion and you're meant to give it back to him. You've given me authority and I ascribe that authority back to you. I think you lose your authority and God says revoked when you start to ascribe your authority to other places or people that aren't him. You ascribe your authority to a system. You ascribe your authority to a political party. Yeah. You ascribe your authority to your own influence. You ascribe your authority to a law or to a lawmaker or to a system or a worldly structure. And God says, no. 1 Peter 5:11, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Or Revelation 1:6, made us to be a kingdom of priests to give him glory and dominion forever and ever. And I think we are in that battle of who we ascribe dominion to. We have been given dominion, which is governmental authority, but you lose it when you ascribe it to the wrong place. And your authority should always be in the upward direction of Christ, ascribed to Christ, used about Christ. And that there, Louise, comes back to your conversation about your encounter. You are watching people ascribe their authority to the wrong thing. They couldn't agree with heaven. They couldn't use their authority in partnership with Christ. And I think that's where we are. And God is saying, look, in this removal of people from seats, this loss of authority, you had dominion, you had authority, but you ascribed it to the wrong places.
So the prayer then is, help me make decisions as you make decisions, God.
And it is that ascribing to Christ, which is keeping in step with Christ.
Yeah.
It's intimacy, it's connection, it's fusion. That's what you're talking about before I shared there about being able to say or decide what Christ would decide as he does.
Louise.
It's brilliant. I mean, this is just such weighty, good teaching matter. And again, coming back to the simplicity of if our eyes are in the right place, if we're living our lives pure, and I just want to go back to what I said before about we need to know the word of God. We really need to understand the word of God as well as the revelation of the Spirit to be able to make those decisions, to know his heart and his mind. And when we do, well, then it is a beautiful thing. Otherwise, and from my visceral experience and from Sam, what you're saying there, the fact that things can be lost, we can lose position, we can lose authority by simply not giving dominion, honor, glory, keeping our eyes focused. That's just a word of warning to us. Now, I think for many of us, we're in the direction of God, we just want to learn how to sit in those places. But it's good to have a warning right at the beginning. The way to get it and to keep it is honor, dominion is his. You offer it back to him. Yeah. The only authority that we have is the authority that he gives us. So let's keep it and stay pure and righteous in
Very
it.
Very good. I do think as well that we've had in previous conversations and just by living life within the structure that we've been in, the shaking of leaders' immorality and their falling.
Yeah.
The lampstand will go out. The losing of position. What that has done has been a shaking of the sheep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to prophesy this. I think we needed to be shaken out of a demonic man-made structure.
Yes.
However, I do believe that the trust between the generals and the soldiers is going to come back, thus says the Lord.
Come on.
And that in a new glory of God, rather than a glory of man, and influence your word, Sam, we are going to enter the days, we are entering the days, particularly in 2025, where we see the trust emerge between the generals in authoritative God called glory of God, making decisions as God makes decisions, place, and the soldiers, and it will emerge. And that means the movement of the army of Christ, the army of God, can now happen in the world in a way it couldn't. The army couldn't move because they were for their own glory. And when an army is for its own glory, eventually it's every man for himself. Yes. And you get no extension of whatever kingdom that army is fighting for. But when you get an army for the glory of God, it moves to extend kingdom boundaries. And an army that's moving to extend kingdom boundaries, there is trust in the decision-making of the generals, in the caliber of the character of the heart of the generals. And the Lord is saying, as some drop out of leadership, it is not a decimation of relationships, because those that God is calling into place will be so trustworthy that God will enable a trustworthy set of relationships between generals and soldiers. I have not yet ever heard that prophesied. That trust is coming back between leaders and soldiers.
Yeah. I think that's a word, Emma, that we're going to have to contend for.
Yes.
Because even as you're saying it, you can feel like it's like, oh, that's great. Yes, we haven't heard that before.
No.
But it's not landing like in the soil of, oh, that's, we're ready for that. Oh, we're ready for that.
Yeah.
There's going to be work. We're going to have to contend to see the establishment of that word, because it's a truth. But the enemy will not want that to happen, because when generals and soldiers are as one and there is trust, we are going to be formidable.
And it's because we're in the season where we're swapping the glory of man for the glory of God.
Yes.
And that enables it.
Yeah.
We're on the same mission.
Yes.
The glory of God.
And how much is that trust going to be formed because God is instituting some new generals as well who have been tried and tested and are ready to occupy that space? I think that's where we started with the seats have been empty, but God is now calling some up to occupy the space, which is really God is commissioning some new generals. He is calling some new generals to occupy that space. And I think there also is that when you release that word, we kind of know that we've not trusted the generals and vice versa. There's that's been there, but we haven't, no one's really been brave enough to kind of vocalize it. And now there's this moment of honesty, I think, with all the exposures where the sheep are saying, we just don't trust. And actually that honest moment needed to come forth for then God to say, I'm now going to put trust back in. New generals.
For the sake of his glory and for the sake of his kingdom, not for the sake of, isn't it nice that you have an influence?
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh.
Yes.
Now, in all of that, we are, as the people of God, mirroring Jesus Christ, very deliberately his full title here. We are mirroring Jesus Christ in his last days, where to step in to the fullness of the building of his kingdom, he has to be betrayed. You cannot grow into the fullness of your next stage without processing a betrayal.
True.
And the portion of betrayal, though you and I don't like it, is fundamental in Christ being able to become.
Mm.
And in some senses, that story of Judas and the betrayal is where Judas wants wealth, he wants the pieces of silver, he wants the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And it shakes the disciples to agree differently that they want the glory of God,
mm-hmm,
versus what Judas was journeying towards. And at the point where a people switch between the glory of man and their elevated influence and the glory of God, his elevated throne, you get betrayal at the crossover point. Because not everybody wants the glory of God. Some want their own position.
Yes.
And I think we have been in the crossover point of betrayal. In many, many ministries, many organizations, church-wide, okay, it's not specific to a place, and that the wound of the previous season was the wound of betrayal, and it's now a glory mark. The wound of betrayal has become a glory mark that you can now be trusted with the extension of the kingdom of God, that your glory mark of betrayal has become a healing moment where you chose the glory of God versus your own glory.
Mm.
And I think that's expressing and explaining what has happened over a period of time. And those that wanted, though perhaps not as knowingly chosen, but subtly chosen their own glory, their own position, their own influence, where ministry was an idolatry or they were their own idolatry, they have not made the jump into the authority place.
Mm.
What a word.
Mm-hmm.
But seasoned, mature, weight-bearing warriors have scars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Betrayal,
yeah.
Healing,
yes,
yeah.
And renewed strength,
yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
To build.
Oh, come on.
For the kingdom.
Come on, hallelujah.
I think there's something in the way that we're built that for those particularly who are called as generals,
mm-hmm,
who have an establishing anointing and strength in them and authority, mm-hmm, betrayal is probably the hardest thing to come back from.
Yes.
And even some of our listeners, you know, may understand that instinctively as you're talking about betrayal. But in a sense, it is almost one of the final things that we must come through.
Yeah.
Because it's what Christ comes through,
exactly,
as his final thing.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And the point of betrayal is where, mm-hmm, you do have to choose, and
yes,
God allows you to have to stand,
mm-hmm,
stand alone and choose him,
yeah,
over something that will crush your spirit.
Yes.
And he's right there for you, but you must make the choice and you must go through it.
Yes.
And once, yes, you've come through it, and for those who have, you know, you come into a completely different place of freedom.
Yes. And I think then after Jesus is betrayed,
mm-hmm,
and doesn't stomp off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I've lost one of my whatever.
Doesn't go in a huff.
He doesn't go in a huff because, oh, I feel like I've lost influence, yeah, amongst men because I've been betrayed. And there's
he understands.
He doesn't even go on a rampage. He then prays for Peter, and Satan has demanded to sift you.
Yes.
Yep. But I have prayed for you.
I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And that sense of like, you're about to betray, you know, deny me, because Peter denies him.
Yeah.
But I'm praying for you, because there's going to be more betrayals that we all have to navigate.
Yes.
Before we can become, you know, the rock. Yes. That Peter then becomes, on which and the church is built.
There's something in the essence of this thing. Mm-hmm. Because I think the end of that verse, where Jesus says to Peter, he says, is it now turn and strengthen your brothers?
Yes, yes.
And there's something about having been through that experience allows you, yes, an authority and a stance, yeah, to be able to give something to others, yes, that you could never have given before.
Very good.
Yes. And I think there is, I'm going to say something very strong. Some people don't deserve victory. You're looking at me like, some people don't. Yeah. That some people don't deserve victory. They are not deserving of breakthrough. They are not deserving of promotion. They are not trustworthy with resources. Yeah. They are not trustworthy with platform.
Mm-hmm.
In the kingdom sense of that. Why are they not? Because they can't sustain the place of only ever giving glory to God.
Yeah.
It's divided. They want
their own glory.
And I mean, and listen well, people, because we all wrestle this.
We do.
The three of us sitting here in podcast land, in What the Prophets Say, we will all have wrestled it, and we will go on wrestling
It's not just a one-time prayer. I want your glory, not mine. It's a continual thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the motivation of the heart, when you hit a brick wall and you're like, I need to break through here. I'm warfaring, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm giving, I'm sowing, I'm going through the journey of the things that leverage, rightly, that leverage breakthrough and victory. Go, God, you come through as the master of the breakthrough. And God says, no, you're not deserving of victory, because you will take it for your own glory.
Oh, it's huge.
And so actually those I'll remove. And it's not just a betrayal to our hearts when God removes. You have to go through that betrayal. It's a betrayal predominantly to their position in Christ, where they can't take an elevated seat of authority because they betrayed the glory of God. More serious than betraying any relationship here. And so I think what we see happen is God diminishing some people. Seriously, God diminishing some people and saying, you can't have victory here. You will be I'm saying some strong stuff today, aren't I? You will not overcome.
Yes.
And because you haven't learned about your own glory and the glory of man versus my glory, you will have to go around some mountains. You can move church. You can move ministry. You can move job. You can move country. You can move 100 times and till somebody opens a door for you to give you what you think you deserve. But you will have to figure that out with God, and he will not let you rule and reign in the spirit realm until you learn to walk only for his glory.
It's very sobering.
Yes.
It's very sobering. It's a mature thought.
Yes. Yes.
But if we want to fulfill all that we are here to fulfill,
yes,
for each of us individually, this is something we got to get hold of. So no matter what area, whether we're a soldier or a general or wherever we sit within the army of God or the kingdom of God, it has to be for his glory.
And Job 4 verse 10, the teeth of the young lions are broken. Something about not having bite, not having strength, no rip roaring capacity.
Ability to overcome.
The teeth of the young lions are broken. Fascinating verse. Of being in the shape and the form of a lion, of being in the shape and the form of greatness, of being in the shape and the form of the king of the jungle, a rulership mm-hmm. kind of shape and form, but the inability to perform
yeah.
within your shape and form and call because your teeth are broken. And I do think that is about who you're ascribing glory to and where you want glory.
Absolutely.
There is subtle, isn't it?
It is subtle.
So we started with, we've now just shocked ourselves, haven't we? Yeah.
Vacant seats of authority.
We started with vacant seats of authority, and that those vacant seats of authority coming because Judas has been removed.
Yeah.
Judas to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Judas to us in our relationships, but primarily a Judas to Christ.
Yeah.
And Lord, keep us humble.
Keep us humble,
and
yeah.
keep
yeah.
us seeking your glory.
Absolutely.
Rather than anything yeah. else. Ascribing, as you yeah. read those scriptures, yeah. Sam, ascribing dominion and kingdom, rulership, and magisterial glory only to Christ yeah. alone. That actually my life is for his
Absolutely.
Kingdom and for his glory mm-hmm. and nothing else. And I make decisions mm. as he would make decisions mm. that are not always for my best, mm. but are for his glory.
Mm.
Wow, wow. Yeah. Lots of men. Yeah. Lots Amen. Of meat to chew on. Thank you, my friends, for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, Sam Robertson, and Louise Reed. We will look forward very much to your company for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the PowerTV.app.